Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of the Right Way podcast with your host Malik Wright and my co-host Austin Mayo, live on blogtalkradio.com, produced by the Right Way Network. Guys, very, very excited for tonight's show. A lot to talk about. Austin.
Well, we definitely have a good one tonight, partner. Obviously, we're going to be going over the top week 7 highlights in the NFL season. We're going to be doing our week 8 preview with fantasy guru Michael Piccarelli. And then we're also going to be talking a little bit of NBA with the start of that season. But Malik, we begin this week in Jacksonville, Florida, with Blake Bortles being benched. He was 10 minutes away. The Jacksonville Jaguars were for making the Super Bowl last year. They were 10 minutes away, have the lead in the AFC Championship late last year, and now they are 3-4. They are being outscored 90-28 in the last three games. They have been outscored 57-0 in the first half of those games, and they have the NFL's worst turnover ratio at minus 12. So even if your quarterback's playing bad, even if your offense is playing bad, you're minus 12 on turnover. So Malik, what's the deal with Blake Bortles, and what does the future look like for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, it's funny that you should ask me that. I've never been a believer in Blake Bortles from the moment he was drafted, but, I have to say, shame on you, Tom Coughlin. I said it last week, actually, on the podcast when we were actually talking about this. I said, shame on you, Tom Coughlin. Shame on you, Jacksonville Jaguars brass. Shame on you, Shot Khan. You picked this guy to be your franchise quarterback, right? We know Blake Bortles is not gonna – he's not going to win you a game by himself. Let's just put it out there. He's no world beater, right? But with that being said, you strip him away of two viable weapons in Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson. I understand coming off a torn ACL and all that good stuff, but at the top of their game, they're two of the best dynamic duels in the NFL. So you know Blake Bortles struggles. We know Blake Bortles' struggles is all on Blake's shoulders. The problem I have is it didn't have to be on his shoulders. It doesn't have to be on his shoulders. Then you got a running back by the name of Leonard Fournette, who nobody wanted to listen to me. But I said when he was coming out of the draft, my one concern with Leonard Fournette is he has a lot of miles on him as a running back. No college athlete's highlight tape should be 15 minutes long. He put in that much work at LSU. He was LSU's offense. He was LSU's workhorse. So I say all that to say, you can't blame Blake Bortles entirely for Blake Bortles' mishaps because you haven't done anything to rectify the mistakes you guys made in letting two of his best receivers and two of the best in the game, I personally think, not top 10, but definitely two of the best in the game, walk out the door. And you did nothing to replace that besides, what, sign Dante Moncrief, number three receiver, have Cap Keenan Cole, who? Keenan Cole, who? Exactly. That's my point, Austin. I want to put the blame on Blake Bortles, but we knew what he was. We knew what he was. When he was coming out, there was all these comparisons to Ben Roethlisberger. They quickly dried up because we knew what he was. And now everybody wants to point the finger at Blake. Yeah, I think Blake sucks. I'll say it. I think Blake Bortles sucks. I don't want him quarterbacking my team. But at the same time, when you do very, very little to help the guy, can you seriously blame him? He shows what he can do when he has a little bit of help. So, sorry to go off that little tangent and that little rant, buddy, but...
No, I listen to you. But listen, at the end of the day, this is a guy who averaged 21 interceptions in his first 3 years in the NFL. He gets that number down to 16, and now all of a sudden he's a game manager that he could lead his team to the Super Bowl. Like, what is this nonsense? He averages an interception per game throughout his career. He gets it still – it's still at an interception per game, and all of a sudden he's like – no, Leonard Fournette is that team. Without them, they are nothing. When you can't dominate and run the ball – your passing game suffers. Your play action suffers. They are playing essentially with no tight end right now. They're playing with fullbacks playing tight end. Their defense talks a big game, but when they're constantly on the field, any defense is going to get tired. For me, it just says if you look at the last 15 years of Super Bowl winners, I could find one quarterback on that list that probably isn't a Hall of Famer, and it's Joe Flacco. But everyone else on that list, Rodgers, Manning, Brady, Breeze, Eli – you know, that's a little controversy, but he's still probably going to get in with two. And then maybe only last year with Nick Foles, which is kind of a fluke situation. But two quarterbacks out of the last 15 Super Bowl winners were not elite quarterbacks. And for me, I just don't see a team getting farther with him. I think, you know, the talk of other quarterbacks coming in, the talk of Tom Coughlin maybe considering an Eli Manning, perhaps now with the Derek Carr story, which we'll get to in a minute. But Jacksonville Jaguars are not looking good right now. And, you know, you never like to hear that a quarterback that took your team to the AFC Championship game just, you know, 8 months earlier is now in a quarterback battle with the backup. That's never a good thing to hear. But as we go from Blake Bortles to Eli Manning, we should talk about the New York Giants, who, after a loss yesterday at Atlanta on Monday Night Football, their season is essentially over. It was announced today that cornerback Eli Apple, a former first-round draft pick, is now out of New York going on to the Saints. So, Malik, if you're a Giants fan, obviously you're giving up on this season, but are you starting to have some regrets inside the locker room? Are you starting to have some regrets from draft day? You know, obviously Saquon's getting the job done, but do you think that it maybe could have been better if they went in a different direction?
No. The Giants are what they are. I mean, at the end of the day, Saquon Barkley was an incredible talent. He is an incredible talent. I don't think anybody – and if you are, shame on you. I don't think anybody should be looking at it like, hey, New York Football Giants, Dave Gettleman, damn you for drafting Saquon Barkley. Because it's not happening. That's not what's being said. I think that he's a rare talent, a rare specimen. He is one of the best at his position in the NFL. He proved that in very short order. So I don't think it's the Giants organization second guessing, because the only difference with drafting Saquon Barkley as opposed to drafting one of those quarterbacks was maybe it takes you a little bit longer to reach your goal. It takes you a bit longer to get back to the playoffs. But Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham Jr. are going to be key fixtures, cornerstone pieces for the New York Football Giants to return to perennial playoff contenders. So with that being said, I don't think that they should, if they are, I don't think that they should be hanging their head saying that Saquon Barkley was the wrong guy, because arguably, I don't know if you draft Sam Darnold, no offense, Austin. I don't know if you draft Lamar Jackson, no offense, Ravens fans. I don't know if you draft Allen or any of those other guys. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm forgetting. Well, he wasn't even there, Baker.
Rosen.
But, and Rosen. I don't even know if they won a game. They won a game. And that's just the fact of the matter. The Giants are a bad, horrendous, awful football team right now. They are in the stages of growth. So I think everybody in New York needs to just take a deep breath. Understand, Giants fans, I know that you guys say you can't spell elite without Eli. I know that you say we win the Super Bowl every 4 years, although that myth has been shattered. But this is not a project that was going to, you know, take place overnight. This was not, you guys weren't going to be propelled to Super Bowl contenders or win your division and dethrone the Super Bowl winning Philadelphia Eagles or any other team in that division for that matter, just by drafting Saquon Barkley and Will Hernandez as a guard. This is going to take time, right? And I think I think Pat Shurmur is the right guy for the job. I do. I like the guy. But once again, my honest opinion, it's time to move on from Eli Manning. And if you don't see that, then well, you're being in denial. You're being in denial, and you're not actually watching the game from a football perspective. You're watching it from an emotional perspective. And Austin, you know, I don't deal with emotional perspectives. I deal with strictly facts. I deal with, you know, I deal with the truth. And the truth is Eli Manning has shown you his true colors. He's shown you his true colors for the past, I want to say, 4 seasons. So, I mean, it is what it is in New York. I don't know what else to say, bud.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a combination of things. They have no guy on their team that has more than 2 interceptions on defense. They're not really – I mean, the best player on their team right now, besides an offensive weapon, is probably their kicker, honestly, and Aldrick Rojas. He's having a phenomenal year this far. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be questionable. I think that you can't just blame the offense. I think Sterling Shepard had a good night. He's definitely a work in progress. Odell – got back to good form. I think he had 8 catches, had the touchdown late in the game. It didn't matter, but it's going to be a rebuild, but I don't think you put the blame just on Eli. But listen, he just can't throw the ball far anymore. When he throws the ball far, I think it's like when Jets fans used to see Chad Pennington throw the ball.
I don't think I got to stop you there, bud. We got to have a conversation now. We got to have one of those Austin and Malik chats really quickly. So you can't say that. When you have the offensive talent that they have, and Odell Beckham, arguably, in my opinion, the best wide receiver in football, and you have a talent like Saquon Barkley, do you know how much you can do with an offense? How many different looks? Look at the damn Kansas City Chiefs right now, right? I know Patrick Mahomes is an amazing talent at quarterback. I understand Travis Kelce is a good tight end. But at the same time, he's able – they're able to maximize that offense to the fullest of their potential because of Patrick Mahomes' skill set and ability. Because Eli Manning is, what, 38 years old? Is that his age? Is he 38 years old or 30 or younger?
He's probably the same age as, you know, Roethlisberger and Rivers.
Yeah, I believe Eli, yeah. I say all that to say, if Eli Manning is on the Kansas City Chiefs, right? If Eli Manning is on the Kansas City Chiefs, he's 37 years old, fact check. If Eli Manning is on the Kansas City Chiefs, their offense isn't as explosive. So it all comes full circle. You need a quarterback with specific skill sets to meet the offense's, you know, their talent. You got Eli Manning, who's having a hard time throwing the ball, launching the ball down the field to Odell Beckham. And you're getting what you're getting. You're getting the product on the field. Now, I'm not saying that one of these quarterbacks coming out of the draft and Drew Locke or whoever the hell, you know, can change the New York Football Giants offense. But I give them a better shot than I give Eli. Eli is a pocket passing quarterback. With the type of offense they got going in New York right now, they don't need a pocket passer. This isn't the Giants of 2007. Sorry.
I mean, I listen, I'm looking at their offensive line right now, though. And, I mean, honestly, there's a lot more. They have a bad offensive line, but it's not like what was it, the Redskins, who have had, like, last year they had, like, what was it, over, like, 40 different combinations of offensive line last year for the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, the Giants are just straight up benching people. Like, Eric Flowers, they're like, you're not good. Like, get out. They said Patrick Omanik, get out. Like, it's not like – it's not – and they got Nate Solder. It's not like they –
well,
like, you can't blame the offensive line because you knew what you had at the beginning of the year.
Exactly. And this is what I'm going to say. This is the God's honest truth. Any good offensive coordinator – listen to me very carefully. Any good offensive coordinator can truly mask an offensive line's problems. But because of the skill set of Eli Manning, they cannot match those offensive problems. Why? Because Eli is the type of quarterback that needs to hike the ball, step back, survey the field, find out what receiver he's going to throw to, then wind up and throw it. Where you have other quarterbacks who have the skill set, such as Cam Newton, who can step back, survey the field, quickly, might I add, and if nobody's open, they can use their legs. They can be that dynamic threat. That's what the Giants need right now. They don't need a guy that's going to sit in the pocket and you know, who needs perfect protection, because that's what we need. That's what Eli damn near needs now, is perfect protection.
I have to agree with you. Because honestly, I have to agree with you because I think you're right. Offensive coordinators know their offense ahead of time. Like, everyone says, you know, Brady runs a quick offense, and everyone says, oh, the players are products of the offense. But I don't think there's shame in saying that you're a product of your offense because you're utilizing
exactly.
the players. Brady throws the ball quickly because he doesn't have – everyone's like, well, Brady doesn't get hit. That's why he's good. It's not because he's not getting hit because he has an amazing offensive line. Yeah, he had Nate Solder and a couple of great guys. But at the end of the day, he had a great offensive line because he just gets the ball out quickly. And if you don't get your quarterback
exactly.
hit, they're going to step in into those throws because they're not getting hit. I mean, you just
and guys,
the bad teams, every bad team has bad offensive line. But is it a bad offensive line, or are they just not getting the ball out quickly enough? You see it with all a young quarterback.
I agree. And let me tell you, Austin, do you know what the cure to fix an offensive line who can't keep the quarterback upright is? You know what the cure is, buddy?
I mean, you would honestly, in an emergency situation, you just add more people to block. You put a tight end in or a running back who can help block. If your offensive line's that bad, you need to put more guys in. It's not beneficial, but that's what you do.
Yes, but hypothetically speaking, if you don't have those other guys to put in, you run the damn football. You run the damn football down the defense's throat. Because let me tell you something. A defense may not respect your passing game, but a defense has to respect your running game. It's a physical game still. These guys didn't just make it to the NFL because, oh, they play a position. They have some type of talent. So if you allow your offensive linemen to be physical and beat that defensive lineup and earn the defensive line respect, you know, Saquon Barkley's not the kind of running back that needs a huge lane. He can create space for himself. So if you hand the damn ball off to him over and over again, eventually lanes are going to open up for Eli Manning to pass that ball down the field. My problem is Eli Manning can't get the ball down the field. So, I mean, I know Giants fans are going to hate me for saying this, but I got to say what it is. I call a spade a spade. Listen, it is what it is. Eli Manning is done. His days in New York are over. Whether you guys keep him next year, keep him the year after, they're over. They're done. As long as Eli Manning is in the starting lineup for the New York Football Giants, the New York Football Giants will be mediocre. And this is not to say that the New York Giants do not have talent in Sterling Shepard, Saquon Barkley, and Odell Beckham Jr., or Evan Engram. It's the quarterback at some point has to be accountable. The quarterback at some point holds that offense back.
I mean, listen, that's just how it goes. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, this transitions perfectly because we're talking about teams that develop a run in still a pass-happy league and goes right to the Los Angeles Rams, who are now 7-0. after a 39-10 victory over San Francisco. Not surprising that they got the victory even at San Francisco. More on the fact that they did it, even with their, you know, their leading receiver, arguably, in Cooper Kupp, they still had a great day from Brandon Cooks and, of course, Robert Woods. Robert Woods, who is now becoming, I mean, he plays the game. He went from, like, a number three receiver, you know, that on most teams. Now he looks like a number one target and everything like that. And I think the Rams are just a great example, going off your point, that, you know, they still run the ball. And I we talk about trends in the NFL, and in the past, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, the league has grown much more pass happy. But with that, defenses have become much more pass defense friendly, meaning they try to invest more in cornerbacks and they like elite corners. Ever since Revis, there's been this trend to always try to find the next Revis, the next, you know, Nnamdi Asamoah in the draft. But let me tell you what else. They're also trying to get these DNs that honestly are not really good run defenders anymore. You know, you're not going to see now, if you want to get guys that can sack like Khalil Mack and J.J. Watt, you're going to get guys who probably are thinner, taller, and faster and probably aren't good run defenders. It's very tough to be able to be good at both, like a J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, and stuff like that. And even them, you know, they still want subs because sometimes there's guys that are just better edge rushers. So I think that's how you beat any team that's struggling to throw the ball because of protection. You run the ball, keep the defensive line honest. And the best, and to be honest, the best defensive linemen out there are probably not the run-stopping D-linemen. They're the passing D-linemen. So, Malik, obviously, the Rams look like no one can stop them. They have this elite combination of Todd Gurley running the ball and then also Todd Gurley catching the ball, but still an elite group of receivers. Their defense looks stellar. Is there really any stopping them? And obviously, we'll get to it a little bit because they're playing the Packers this week, though it's in Los Angeles. But do you see the Rams getting stopped anytime soon?
No. No. No.
He's just looking at me. I'm looking at his watch. But honestly, there's really – it's like asking if the Golden State Warriors are going to win the NBA Finals. Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, what do you think? Like, just, like, raising your eyebrows, yeah.
I mean, maybe. Maybe Aaron Rodgers pulls a hat trick. Maybe. Maybe Drew Brees pulls a hat trick in November. Maybe. We don't deal in maybes, right, Austin? The team looks unstoppable right now. Feeling-wise... history-wise, I got to say, yeah, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to pull something out. But by the way that this team is performing right now, no. Don't see it.
And I mean, and what are you more impressed with right now? The fact that this team is just rolling with Todd Gurley, but I think you could make a case that they have the best defensive player and offensive player in the league right now, and Aaron Donald, who has 8 sacks already, and Gurley, who has – my calculations, he has almost 700 rushing yards on just 144 attempts. He's averaging at least 5 yards a carry. And then he's also getting receiving touchdowns. If you have him on your fantasy team, we'll talk to Michael in a minute, but congratulations. I think he runs away with the offense MVP award. I think you might see a trio of, at least at this rate, I know early season awards, but you might see Aaron Donald Defensive Player of the Year, Gurley MVP, and McVay coach. But, yeah, these Rams look unstoppable. And, you know, if this was in Green Bay, I would say another direction, but I don't think so. But going on from that, Malik, another team that is looking dominant lately, and I know it was against your team last week, so you might not be looking forward to talking about this, but the Kansas City Chiefs, once again playing on Sunday Night Football, you know, they did a pretty good job against the Bengals. They did a number on them. What's your takeaways from that? And, you know, are the Chiefs, you know, you've seen the Chiefs play the Patriots. You now have seen the Chiefs play against your own team. Is it safe to say that the Chiefs are definitely a contender for the Super Bowl or just not yet?
I will not say it. They are damn good right now. The Kansas City Chiefs look like world beaters. They look unstoppable. They look fantastic. They look like the best team in the NFL right now. But there's always a but. How many times, Austin, have we sat on this podcast season after season and said, the Kansas City Football Chiefs look great. The Kansas City Football Chiefs are good. I can't believe in an Andy Reid-led NFL football team when it comes to the playoffs. I just can't. It's difficult for me to. And I know I'm going to get a lot of heat, so Sorry, KC fans. And I'm going to get a lot of heat for people hearing me say this, but this is the same damn story with the Kansas City Football Chiefs every year. Sure, they're not as explosive as they have been this season, but they've always been a good football team for the most part since Andy Reid took over. My problem with that is it's the same damn story in KC that Philadelphia Eagles fans had with Andy Reid. No matter how good they are in the regular season, trust me, it feels damn good to be in the regular season. Feels great to be great in the regular season. To look like world beaters in the regular season. Break all the damn records you want in the regular season. But there's only one thing that matters at the end of the year. Did you hoist, or in the Kansas City Chiefs case, have you even gone to the Super Bowl? And if you get there, did you hoist the Lombardi Trophy? That's the only thing, that damn thing that matters. Because right now, KC fans, what you're doing is you're putting a huge target on your back. Now the NFL world, us analysts, us watching the game, we have expectations for you, right? We have expectations for you. Daniel Jeremiah said it great from NFL.com. He said it doesn't matter how good the Kansas City Chiefs are. It does not matter if Patrick Mahomes breaks the touchdown record. If you can't beat New England in the playoffs, which has been the Kansas City Chiefs' Achilles heels, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Baltimore, and countless other teams' Achilles heels for years now. So that's my take on it, Austin. If they can't get it done in the playoffs, then well, everybody's going to say, oh, maybe next year. Maybe next year. Oh, well, they did a good – maybe next year. Maybe next year they'll do it. Maybe they'll get it done next year. The fact is I'm tired of betting on the Kansas City Chiefs. You saw me sit up here right last week on the podcast. I said they were going to beat the Bengals. I said they were. I know it shocked you when I said it. But this is what they're supposed to do. They went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady in Gillette Stadium and lost at the end of the damn game. This is what you're supposed to do. I'm not answering the question anymore if Kansas City is going to make the playoffs or if they're going to win the division. I want to know one thing. Can they beat New England in the playoffs? That's all I want to know now. I don't want to answer any more questions. Nope, nobody DM me. Nobody talk to me. Don't ask me no damn questions about the Kansas City Chiefs going forward. Unless you want to know the same question I want to know and that the world wants to know. Can they beat Tom Brady, hoodie, in the playoffs? And if they can't, well, it's what I've always felt about them. If they can, oh my God, crown them champs. But that's my take.
And I think the biggest thing for Chiefs fans, obviously you got to keep your, pedal to the metal here. There's still a lot of football to be played. Mahomes is, he's probably going to cool off a little bit. Other teams get hot at this point in the season. It's tough to go 6-1 and then, win six more. Especially six in a row. So I definitely think the Chiefs have a couple easier matchups. They have a couple more home games coming up, which should be beneficial for them, especially with a younger quarterback. I think if you can develop your run with Kareem Hunt, who had three touchdowns yesterday and over 100, or a couple days ago, and 141 all-purpose yards, he's looking good. I think when you have Tyreek Hill, who is just a pure weapon, I mean, defenses can't plan against him. When you have that much physical talent, you physically cannot plan against him. I also think Travis Kelce, in my opinion, with Gronkowski really injured, I think Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the league. So when you have the fastest player in the league, a top five running back, arguably the best running back in terms of yards, at least last year, I would probably still put Todd Gurley above him. But and you have the best tight end, and you have an excellent young quarterback who can run, and probably the best offensive-minded coach in the league right now, maybe besides McVay. I think the Chiefs have a lot going for them. But again, we'll see when it comes to the playoffs time. I think home field advantage is extremely important in Kansas City.
Here's one thing I want to say, Austin, really, really quickly before we switch topics, right? I'm curious to see how Patrick Mahomes performs, right? It might seem small. I'm curious to see how he performs when the weather gets colder. I want to know, is Kareem Hunt going to be able to withstand and carry his team through the playoffs and through some of those you know, as the season gets colder and as the snow starts hitting the ground. I want to know. That's what I really want to know. Because let me tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah, No, I completely agree, because Tyreek Hill's value goes down when you can't throw the ball far.
Teams are going to start stacking that box and daring them to run. And then you're gonna take the chance of your defensive backs going one-on-one with Tariq Hill and Sammy Watkins, because guess what? That ball gets a little heavier. That ball gets a little heavier. Gets a little less catchable. And say what you want about Tariq Hill. As much of a weapon he is, as a weapon that Tariq Hill is, he doesn't have the most sure hands in the NFL.
No, he had a drop yesterday, and he can't really catch anything short. Like, he doesn't catch slants in traffic, you know? That's really only Sammy Watkins' thing on that team.
Yep. So, it'll be curious. I'm very, very curious to see Mahomes and company put it together.
Also, Eric Berry's health as well, too. Him, Justin Houston, there's a couple
for sure.
of interesting facts. If their defense can beef up a little bit, then they're a force to be reckoned with. Absolutely.
Yep.
But I still think you got to consider them at the top of the division, at the top of the conference, sorry, with the Patriots right now.
Sure.
All right. We'll see. All right. And then finally, right before we head out into break, a lot going on in Oakland. Malik is a huge fan of John Gruden. I cannot stress this enough, guys. He loves John Gruden. But now it just seems like he's pretty much clearing house at this point. There's been some odd reports coming out of Oakland. Obviously, Amari Cooper is out. We know that. But there's been some odd things with Derek Carr. He's been tweeting some weird things. He says he loves being a Raider and all that stuff. Everyone said that Gruden went to Oakland because they saw the potential. Don't forget, before people start saying, oh, Derek Carr's having a bad year, he's been a Pro Bowler the past 3 years. It's not like he's a nobody. He's not in the same, you know, category as Blake Bortles, let's just say that. But he's struggling right now. They're racking up first-round picks, but there's definitely some questions in Oakland. And, you know, Malik, we're starting to see some rumors that, you know, maybe Derek Carr, he has a big contract he just signed recently, but maybe he gets floated around a little bit for some teams that are looking for a franchise quarterback potentially and like a weird trade. It's almost like the only comparison I could think of, not really Alex Smith because he was older, you know, this year, but maybe like a Drew Brees situation with San Diego going to New Orleans and just finding himself. I mean, what do you think you see coming out of Oakland in the coming days and weeks?
Listen, guy, you don't know how bad I want to put on my John Gruden. You don't know how bad I want to put on my John Gruden. put on my John Gruden impersonation right now. I want to do it so bad. I want to put my John Gruden impersonation on. But listen, guy, Derek Carr's the Oakland Raiders. He's their quarterback. But no, in all seriousness, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I know what John Gruden's trying to do. He's trying to stockpile draft picks for the future. It's as simple as that. He's trying to stockpile draft picks for the future. And I understand a lot of people are unhappy. Khalil Mack, the Khalil Mack thing, I understand. But as far as the trading away the Amari Cooper, they got an absolute steal. Guy's not worth a first-round pick, but yet and still they got Dallas to give him a first-round pick. Now, if my calculations are right, the Oakland Raiders now have 3 first-round draft picks going into next season. Sounds like, smells like the Cleveland Browns, sort of what they did. And look how that's working out.
You can make the argument that 2 of those are going to be top 10. You could even make the argument that one of them might be like even the first overall pick, depending on how the Raiders wind up.
Correct. So with that, with all that being said, I mean, I think it's fantastic for the Oakland Raiders and what they're doing right now. I think that Chucky's he understood. He's remember, guys. I've said it on the podcast since we got back on air. I said 10 years. He signed for 10 years. You're stuck with John Gruden for 10 years. They're not going to fire him, so that's out of the question. You're stuck with John Gruden for 10 years, or however long John Gruden wants to stay to fulfill that contract, and you have to see what he comes up with. I think personally he's shaping Oakland up for the future. He understands that, hey, we got some good players on the team, but I think we can have the potential to have great players on the football team. Right now, these guys aren't the Raider way, so to speak. And I think Gruden sees that, and Gruden's trying to make some changes that are necessary. But all in all, that being said, it's exciting. It's exciting to see everybody frantic, and they came up with the website, Fire Gruden, is Gruden gone yet.com, and all this stuff yet. I'll say this, Raiders fans, be patient. Be patient with Gruden.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the Amari Cooper thing is a steal. I also wouldn't give up on Amari Cooper, that being said. I don't think his career – I mean, he's still a very good wide receiver. We'll see what he can do. I don't know if Dallas is necessarily the perfect place to foster this, you know, potentially. I mean, like, if he was going – I don't know, I'm saying like the Chiefs or some of the Rams, but I mean, if you went to a team with maybe a little better quarterback and stuff like that, obviously Minnesota's had some injuries every now and again, like a team like that with a quarterback but with other options, I think he could be an elite number two guy, you know, like kind of like how Juju's kind of coming into his own, is like playing off Antonio Brown and stuff like that. I think he still has that potential, but we'll see what happens. But for now, I think you said it best, Malik. Raiders fans got to be patient. As a Jets fan, I can tell you it's a lonely life, but you got to do it. And sometimes it takes years, but you end up getting a first-round quarterback out of it. So we'll see what happens.
And, guys, right now we're going to take a quick break. Keep it locked here on the Right Way Podcast, live on Blog Talk Radio, produced by the Right Way Sports Network. When we get back off our quick break, we'll be joined by fantasy guru Michael Piccirelli. So keep it locked here on The Right Way.
You're now tuning in to the hottest sports talk podcast on the East Coast. The Right Way Network with hosts Austin Mio and Malik Wright. Be sure to follow the team on social media at The Right Way Network on Facebook, at The Right Way Network on Instagram, and at The Right Way Net on Twitter. And remember, there's only one way to get all your sports updates, and that is The Right Way.
All right, we are back. We are back, and we are joined by Michael Piccirelli. How are you doing, Michael?
Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Doing good. We're doing good. How are you?
I've seen better days,
doing good,
Mike.
Thanks.
I've seen better days,
yeah, I know you.
Mike.
I should get into
better...
it. Like, I really should chew into you a little
so
bit.
So come
man.
On, bring it in. Bring
kids.
It on. Bring
nah,
it on.
No, man. I don't like doing that stuff. But you know that, it happens sometimes, man. It happens, but. You live
listen,
to fight
I
want to
say,
day, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, but I want to say something to you. Hats off to the Chicago Bears. I mean,
1 yard.
Hats off to the Chicago
Jeez,
Bears. I mean, I understand emotional roller coaster of the game. This is a game that I didn't even have you guys in.
Yeah,
but,
most people didn't, obviously.
Yeah, you guys shocked me, man.
Mac's still not right, which is unfortunate. They dropped him into coverage. I think like 18 times, which is more than he's ever dropped into coverage. Even Floyd too. I don't know. Fangio's he's been sleeping the last couple of games. We hit our bye at the worst time. I don't know if we talked about it last week, but we were 3-1 and we were rolling for as much as you could be rolling after a few games. And they caught a bye at the wrong time, and they just got to keep together, man. You know, we're relatively healthy. Trubisky's playing relatively well. He's not the reason for any of our struggles the last few games. It's kind of been on the defense and special teams. We gave up a special teams touchdown. So they just got to keep it together, man, and keep it moving. They got a couple winnable games here in the AFC East, and, we'll see what's up in a couple weeks.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to get started, Michael. And the first game we're looking at is that game in London, which if you're a fantasy owner, beware. The game starts at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you want to make any adjustments to your roster, got to be smart. Now, I think – this game, Michael, probably more than any other game we're going to be talking about today, and we're talking about five today, definitely has the most question marks, specifically in the backfield. On the Eagles' side, you have this weird hybrid combo of Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement. On the other side of the football, Carlos Hyde is there, though we didn't see him in action last week. So we don't know necessarily what the product is going to be from him. We already know that T.J. Yeldon has been a decent backup. We also know that Leonard Fournette right now for fantasy owners is planning a November 11th timeline roughly. So a lot going on. Neither of these teams and their coaches have played against each other. These coaches at least have played against each other before. The game's in London. It's technically a home game for Jacksonville, but both teams have to travel. So
you know, what are you looking at from a fantasy perspective, and can you provide any, you know, insight as to what you're looking at in terms of the backfield?
You know, it's a very interesting game, Malik, in regards to that. I mean, I know the Eagles beat the Giants a few weeks ago, but, you know, both teams need a win, you know. So they're both going to be it's gonna be a tough, grimy game. As far as that Jacksonville backfield, I mean, you know, I think Tom Coughlin just wants to pound the rock. It's hard to trust Blake Bortles right now. He's been, you know, pretty bad. So they're just going to try to pound it. And when Fournette comes back, they're just going to pound it with him and Hyde. As far as this week goes, I mean, I don't know that you can start either Yeldon. You know, Eagles are a tough defense no matter where you play. I don't know that you can start Yeldon or Hyde with much confidence this week. DD may be somebody to look for if you need a bye week coverage or a flyer in DFS. You know, if they had pulled Bortles for a few minutes last week. So if Cody Kessler gets in, that might help DD with some short underneath routes. You know, even with the Eagles defense, again, keeping the routes nice and shallow and short might benefit DD. As far as the Eagles goes, I wrote down a couple guys. I wrote down Dallas Goedert, the tight end. He scored a couple of the last few games. He's actually catching like 40% of the snaps in the slot. So that's obviously a mismatch for him, and they love that. And he pretty much has settled into Wentz's third receiving option in that Nelson Aguilar slot, who kind of trailed off in who knows where land. But Dallas Goedert is kind of trending up a little bit. And obviously Alshon, he's in the zone right now. He scored in pretty much every game. Even though he's going to have the tough matchup, you know, Hopkins got a few off on Jalen Ramsey last week. And Wentz is going to – I don't know if Wentz is not scared. I know he's not scared. And he's going to go after Alshon. So you start him, obviously. You know, maybe you lower your expectations a little bit. But, you know, Alshon's as locked in as you could be right now.
Yeah, so I'm going with the Jacksonville Jaguars this game. I think they bounce back. I think they handle the criticism well. I think, in the words of Jalen Ramsey, I wish I had the soundbite. And we going to win that game, as he always likes to yell out. So I think the Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And let me tell you why I'm picking against the Philadelphia Eagles. Because Peterson, he said something that I did not like during a press conference after the game. He said the pressure's off. What?
Yeah.
What? Like that's remember back in the day, Austin, and Mike, you probably remember this too. We used to say on the podcast, "What's going on?" That was one of the "What's going on" moments. What the hell are you talking about, Peterson? You want to tell your football team, no, the pressure is definitely on. We're 3-4. We just won the Super Bowl last year, and we're not even ahead of our division right now. So yes, the pressure's not off. Do you think the rest of the NFL just was not expecting you guys to make the playoffs again? I mean, I'm certainly shocked. I'm certainly shocked that he would even fix his face to say that. Now, I know it can be made into a bigger deal than what it was, but the fact of the matter is that's freaking crazy to say. You guys were Super Bowl champions last year. Super Bowl champions last year, and Carson Wentz played like a damn best player in football last season before his injury. And you want to say the pressure's off. Sure, okay. Well, if that's the way you take it, how do you think the players are going to react to that? Okay, well, we can start slacking. I know that's what I would think. Okay, the pressure's off. Coach said the pressure's off. Party's over. Hey, time to party. We don't got to work as hard. So, Peterson, choose your words a little more carefully, buddy, because you don't know how that could backfire on your team.
Yeah, and then honestly, for me, I agree. I just don't like the Philadelphia leadership right now. I think that the only way this game really, you know, it's just – I think it'll come down to Bortles, and if they can't establish the run and they have to rely on Bortles, then that's the only way I think the Jaguars lose. I think the defense does bounce back. But as we head into our next game of the week, we have the Cleveland Browns, who are 2-4-1 going against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 3-2-1. Facts right off the bat, Mike Tomlin, 19-3-1 against the Browns. The Hugh Jackson is 0-4-1 against the Steelers. Obviously, Michael, I think the big story right now is, since we talked about Carlos Hyde, now that Carlos Hyde's gone, it looks like Nick Chubb is going to be the one benefiting the most. He had 80 yards and a touchdown last week. Jarvis Landry and David Njoku might be some great picks. I think David Njoku is actually a great pick this week. And then on the other side of the football, I'm pretty sure the Steelers, I think, they're coming off a bye last week. So, you know, you get back James Conner if you had him. If you have Antonio Brown, your first overall pick maybe, and Juju Smith, you got all those guys coming back. And then Roethlisberger's having a pretty good year as well. So, is there really any scenario where you don't start anyone? I think you start anyone. I think probably you just hold the defenses, right?
Yeah, you didn't really miss much. You know, and the Njoku, like you said, is probably first on my list. His production has increased in the last 3 weeks. He's seeing more targets the last 3 weeks, so he's just as high as you can be ascending right now. Obviously, Nick Chubb, he's going to get the volume, so there's no worries there. You can start him every week without any kind of, you know, any kind of worries. Baker is always going to do what he does, and Landry is always, you know. On the Steelers side, I like Juju a lot this week. Cleveland's cornerback, their slot cornerback, TJ Carey, has been getting kind of abused. Plus, Denzel Ward has been really holding it down. I know we spoke about him 1 or 2 weeks, but he holds it down. So, you know, not that he's going to hold AB down, you know, but it's going to be a difficult matchup. And Connor, James Connor, you know, Cleveland's got a pretty good defense. But James Conner is a grinder, and then they're going to find ways to move the ball. And like you said, Austin, start everybody and, you know, just hope for a high-scoring affair.
You're right, Pick. You know, there's only one corner that can shut down AB, and that's William Jackson, the third of the Cincinnati Bengals. But
the third.
I'm not going to get into that. I'll say this. I think the Cleveland Browns are going to win this game. I do. I think that this is a good matchup for them against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do think Denzel Ward can give AB a run for his money, personally. And I think that front seven is going to get at. I think that front seven is really going to get after Ben Roethlisberger. And I think you know, coming off of such an awesome win for the Pittsburgh Steelers against Cincinnati, that was probably their Super Bowl of the season. I think that they took the, like you said, Mike, about your football team, I think that they took the bye at the wrong time, personally. And I think that Cleveland's itching, you know, it sucks to tie with a team, but the Browns always play the Pittsburgh Steelers tough. And I think that this is going to be Baker Mayfield's coming out game. Mark my words.
And this is a different team, Malik, that Pittsburgh saw the first week. Obviously, you know, with Tyrod being behind the quarterback and with Hyde, Chubb, and so it's a totally different team than Pittsburgh saw week one.
Yep, I agree, 100%, buddy. And I like I said, I can't wait to see the Pittsburgh Steelers go 3-3-1.
I think the only thing that I would go with the Steelers, one, obviously they're the home team, so that probably helps their defense that has been struggling a little bit. And the second thing is they're coming off a bye. I don't think that's as a big deal for the Steelers as it is for the Browns, because the Browns are playing in way too many overtime games. It's getting a little ridiculous with them. And frankly, like, that puts strains on you.
Because they're showing competitiveness. They're showing grit. And let me tell you something. All that's doing is giving them experience. That's the only thing that's doing is giving them more experience. Honestly, I think the Browns are a dangerous team. I'll tell you this. If my team is fighting for a playoff spot, they're the last damn team I want to see, if I'm any NFL team, because they are going to play you tough, they're going to play you hard, and they're going to be looking to play spoiler. They're going to be looking to play spoiler.
I completely get that. You know? I'm not saying they're a bad team. I'm just saying, like, in the fourth quarter of this game, when you're on the road and you need a defensive stop or you need your team to go out and do a two-minute drill, you know, you've played a couple extra quarters. That gets to you. Because, by the way, with the new overtime rules, basically, like, the games are actually going a full extra quarter. These guys have played pretty much a half another game and stuff like that. Like, it puts a toll on your body. So,
Roethlisberger isn't lighting up any defenses. He's not lighting up any defenses that aren't top tier. I think the Browns are going to get after him. I do, bud. I really think the Browns are going to get after him. I think Myles Garrett is going to have a great game against him.
Well, that's true, and he's having a good season so far. Yeah.
I think so, man. Like I said, this goes far beyond my disdain for the Steelers. This is just the proof in the pudding. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, they tied with a Pittsburgh Steelers football team before when they had Tyrod Taylor, as you alluded to earlier, behind center. Now they have Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield, this is a statement game for him. This is Baker Mayfield's hello, darling, welcome moment to the NFL. I do.
For sure. You know, we'll see. I definitely think it's the game of the week to watch, especially in those early slot games. But, Michael, coming up next, we got the Green Bay Packers at the Rams. Now, we can debate all day if this is the time that this might be the Rams' loss, at least that comes early in the first half of the season. But I think there's more questions in terms of starting Packers this week
obviously Aaron Rodgers is going to have a tough matchup against that defense. Devontae Adams, who for a lot of guys is probably their number one receiver this year, he's having a great year, but you know that's not an easy Rams secondary to go against. And you know, obviously, I think you're probably not going to bet on Ty Montgomery or Jamal Williams or anything like that to go against Aaron Donald and that defensive line. But even, you know, whether or not do you think that this is necessarily, you know, like you don't start maybe a guy like, you know, like probably like a Jimmy Graham or something like that, like a secondary receiver for the Packers, or do you still start anyone despite going against the 7-0 Rams?
You know what? Actually, most people who have Jimmy Graham in a single like tight end league don't have many other options. So I actually kind of like, I feel like, you know, their linebackers, maybe one of the weaker links in their defense, the Rams. So that might
for
be
sure.
someone who exploit. But Jimmy Graham's not a field stretcher anymore. He's just a red zone guy. So, I mean, if he scores a touchdown, you know, you're going to be looking at like 15 fantasy points. But if not, you know, you're going to be under 10, you know, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, and I really, I kind of actually like Devontae Adams and Geno should be back. Geronimo Allison should be back. Marcus Peters and Troy Hill have been getting PFF grades. Some of the lowest of the cornerbacks in the entire league the last 4 weeks. They've been getting roasted. It might be because other teams are in garbage time and they're just throwing,
mm-hmm.
and the Rams are in pre-event. So, I mean, you know, number, you can look at numbers how they are, however they are, but, you know, the numbers are what they are. You know, those two guys have been getting burnt the last 3-4 weeks. So, you know how you know, Rodgers is going to sling it. You know, I don't not start anybody. This is one of those games you just start them all, and again, and hope for, you know, every single Ram, you know, all your Packers, except for the running backs. You know, like you said, Austin, none of the Packer running backs don't do anything for me this week.
Yeah, so I'm going with the Rams. My gut says the Packers, but my head says the Rams, so I'm going to go with my head. I'm going with the Rams. I just think that they're a tough team. I think Aaron Rodgers not having the greatest season. So I think this defense bodes a whole new problems for Green Bay. I still think it's going to be a competitive game, but I think that the Rams have this game in Sean McVay. I think they got something for Green Bay this week.
And we're running out of time, so we're going to cruise through these last two matchups. So next up, we got the Baltimore Ravens at the Carolina Panthers. Both 4-win teams. Panthers coming off a great win at Philadelphia last week, 21-17. But the Ravens, you know, they lost to New Orleans, a hard-fought game, 24-23. You know, I think biggest questions for Baltimore, obviously, you know, it's on and off with Alex Collins. Some weeks he's good, some weeks he's not good. Javorius Allen's obviously taking some touches away. I think on the other side of the football, though, I really don't think if you have Christian McCaffrey or Cam Newton, you're going to bench them necessarily. But, Michael, you got to lower your expectations going against arguably a top 10 defense in Baltimore. So what do you see? Any like flyer matchups this week?
Yeah, I mean, John Brown's always a good matchup, or he's, you know, he's kind of been last week. I think he connected on all of his targets, 7 of his targets. He went for like $150. Alex Collins, actually, I had read some snap percentages that showed Buck Allen wasn't getting the ball as much. So, I mean, if for nothing else, Alex Collins may get, you know, volume, and even if it's a cheap touchdown. The Ravens defense showed a lot, you know, every week. They've just been balling out. So, you know, Cam is gonna go nose to nose, especially at home, and give him the run. Maybe, I mean, those linebackers are so good. Maybe McCaffrey stretches them out. You know, you always have to start McCaffrey, but again, lower your expectations perhaps.
Yeah, I'm going with the Panthers this game. I feel like I'm just picking against all the AFC North divisions rivals today. But no, no hater here. No, I love it. I just think that the Panthers, they're at home. They got Greg Olsen back. You know, I think that it's just a good matchup for them. The Baltimore Ravens, as good as their defense, their front seven is, I don't think that their corners are amazing. I think that Cam Newton can get a couple deep balls, maybe to Devin Funchess, a couple other guys. I mean, it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting game, but I just think that if it was in Baltimore, I'd pick Baltimore. But it's in Carolina, so I'm going to pick Carolina. Especially coming off of such a motivational win that they had against the Philadelphia Eagles. You just beat the Super Bowl champions in Philly. You just beat them in Philly. So, I mean, that's all the motivation they need. This is going. This is the type. Those are the type of wins that changes the course of a season. So, Baltimore, you got your work cut out for you.
For sure. And then our final match of the week. So many storylines going into this. First off, it's a dream fantasy matchup between the Saints and the Vikings. I mean, this is going to be high scoring out of the wazoo. You also have a great story because this is the site of the Minneapolis Miracle. So I think you got to put a little extra money on Stephon Diggs just because. He had 13 catches for 230 yards and three touchdowns in two career meetings against them. But Adam Thielen's kind of leading the way for Minnesota right now. Latavius Murray seems to be that starting running back until Dalvin gets back. And then on the other side of the football, I think the only real frustrating thing, and Michael, I know you're a Kamara owner, so you could speak to this, but he had 64 yards in the touchdown last week in week 7, but that's just not good enough at this point considering that you know, we were expecting him to be getting 150 yards and two or three touchdowns, like Gurley numbers. So it's pretty much start everyone this week. But I guess if you're a Kamara owner, you really have no choice. But, you know, damn, Mark Ingram's really getting in the way right now, right?
Yeah. We definitely spoke about that. You have to lower your expectations from here. There will be certain matchups, and game flow will keep Kamara involved in some games, and this may be one of them. You know, he was kind of quiet last week, off the week before, really quiet the first week Ingram was back. So, I mean, you know, hopefully he's charged and ready to go. excuse me, Ben Watson showed a little bit last week, who could be somebody to get again with 5 weeks and things like that. On the defensive side, obviously they traded for Eli Apple. So, you know, maybe he revitalizes his career a little bit. On the other side of Marcus Lattimore, who is struggling a little bit. So Diggs may be able to get going. You know, Thielen's going to work whoever they have in the slot. I'm not sure when Dalvin Cook is coming back. I have written down Cousins is going to sling it because that's what he does. And, God, he's playing real well and doing what they need to do for them. And don't forget about Kyle Rudolph.
He's probably a bye week tight end for some guys.
Yeah, he's kind of hit or miss, man. But he's when he's good, you know, he's pretty good. It's just Cousins likes going down the field so much. You know, I mean, he wasn't really involved with Jordan Reed, you know, so that kind of worries me, you know, a little bit for Rudolph. But, you know, maybe this is the week he gets in it.
Quick thing, guys. We have a caller calling in, and I definitely want to get to this caller because we haven't taken any callers in a while. So bear with me. Thank you for calling into the Right Way Podcast live on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Malik, speaking. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with? Well, you called into the Right Way Podcast. This is Malik speaking. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
Logan.
Logan, buddy, Steelers fan. What's going on, man? I remember you.
What's up?
How's it going, man?
Is it right if I switch a little bit to the NBA?
Hold that thought, Logan. I'm gonna get right back to you. Let us finish talking about, wrapping up the preview of. The Saints versus the Vikings, we'll get right back to you because that's actually what we're going into next. All right, hold on.
Okay.
All right. So, continue, guys. Sorry.
No, I think Michael was saying it best. I think Rudolph might be a sneaky backup tight end this week, especially if you have a bye week situation. But, you know, Malik, where do you – it's going to definitely be a high-scoring game. It's in Minnesota. You think they pull out the win, or maybe this time the Saints prevent another miracle?
It's going to be an awesome game, but all the odds are stacking up against Minnesota. I think the Saints are going to want this game more. I think the Saints are going to come out and try to prove something, and I think the Saints are going to, I think the Saints are going to pull this game off. Especially something that'll be interesting to see. Maybe, just maybe, the New Orleans Saints might be able to acquire Patrick Peterson, which can change the direction of a matchup. I know that's a rumor, flying around out there. Something very, very interesting to see. So, all in all, I think the Saints pull this game away. Pull away with this game. Sorry, first day of my tongue. I think the Saints pull away with this game, and I think the Saints beat the Minnesota Vikings and shock the world because certainly that the way they ended last season was definitely on a sour note. So, I think the Saints will be looking to make a statement. So, it'll be awesome. But, Mike, I want to thank you always for coming on to the Right Way Podcast and joining us and talking with us, buddy. You know, as always, we'll see you next week. Talk more football. Good luck to your Bears this upcoming week. What you guys got?
Yeah, let me Let me squeeze in two more things, Malik. One, my sure. Bears got Austin's Jets, so hopefully it's a really good one. And
I really don't think it's going to be that good. But
I kept wondering why Austin was quiet when it came to the Bears. I kept wondering why. Now I know why.
I didn't want to do a fantasy preview because there's no preview. Who are you going to talk about for the
Jets
in the preview?
You never know, man.
No, but that's
Malik, I'm glad you brought up that Patrick Peterson, because that could be a game changer for a team, man. Patrick Peterson, sheesh. If he goes to a playoff-ready team, I mean, that's going to be on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Patrick Peterson is the real deal, and I think Arizona should just trade the guy. If the guy wants out, let him get out. Don't hold him hostage, okay? But, Mike, thank you, as always, for coming on to the podcast, man. We'll see you next week, brother. Good luck to your Bears, bear down, and good luck to Austin's Jets as well. I don't know what the Jets say, but fly, I guess. I don't know what they say. Jet up.
They just say Jets three times.
Oh, J-E-T-S, Jets. Okay, I'm not going to say it. It's complicated. But we'll do now right now. We'll take a quick break. Got Logan on the line. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get right to his question, and we'll wrap it up with NBA action. Keep it locked here on the Right Way Podcast. Catch you next week. Mike.
All right, boys.
You're now tuning in to the hottest sports talk podcast on the East Coast. The Right Way Network with hosts Austin Mio and Malik Wright. Be sure to follow the team on social media at The Right Way Network on Facebook, at The Right Way Network on Instagram, and at The Right Way Net on Twitter. And remember, there's only one way to get all your sports updates, and that is The Right Way.
We are back live on The Right Way on blogtalkradio.com, produced by The Right Way Sports Network, joined by Logan. Logan, you said you had some NBA questions. What's going on, bud?
Yo. What's up?
Very, 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 I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm all right. I had a few questions. The first one, what do you think about LeBron? What happened last night? All these sports casters are giving him trash, but he was the one who sent it to overtime. So what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously, missing free throws and stuff like that, never a good look. I definitely think that the Lakers are showing that, definitely signs that they're kind of coming together. I think, it's not so much that game as more as the 0-3 start. I think right now they're still trying to find themselves. They're trying to figure out what kind of, basketball they're playing. They have this weird combination of veterans in Lance Stephenson and Rajon Rondo, and then they're still trying to figure out where Lonzo and Josh Hart fit in, and Kyle Kuzma as well. So I think it's just going to take some time. I think sportscasters right now on air and stuff like that are just trying to jump at the opportunity. The headline is LeBron's 0-3. What's going on for, L.A. Bron right now? I think just give it some time. All these teams lose at the beginning of the year. Golden State loses. They all lose. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. And also, the minutes are still going to be a little funky right now. These guys are not going to be playing, extremely long minutes because – you got to save them for the end of the year. And when that happens, they don't have the exact same flow. They're not hitting all those shots. They're not getting all the reps that they need. So I think it's just a little bit of time right now. I don't think there's any panic in Los Angeles, but I definitely think as long as they're getting the young guys involved, they're developing and, they're going to hit their stride in a couple games or so. I don't think you hit the panic button yet in LA.
In the words of Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, relax. It's 0-3. It's an 82-game season compared to the NFL's 16-game season. They'll be fine. They got the best basketball player in the world, the best basketball player ever. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. They'll get it together. As long as Rajon Rondo can stop spitting on people, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
So what's up? What's the next question, Luke?
What rookies are you looking forward to watching this year? That have the biggest impact on their teams?
I'd say right off the bat, I hope we're doing the modern definition of rookies and not
not Marco Fultz.
Yeah, for sure. For me,
I like a lot of guys. Josh Hart is definitely a rookie, right? I just want to confirm that, right? He's not
Josh
in second year. No, because he just got drafted
second
towards the end. Yeah, he wasn't like a
second
topic.
Year.
Yeah, I personally like Josh Hart. When I look at rookies in any sport, I did the NFL rookie quarterback thing, rookie quarterback article at the beginning of the season. I always look at like the situation they're in, and I just think that sometimes there's a little bit of pressure for certain players when they come in and they have to be like a focal point. That's what I think might be the situation with like a Miles Bridges or something like that, or a Malik Monk. So that's the only reason why I would say like just give these guys a break. That's why with Josh Hart, you're allowing him to develop his shot. He could be a spot shooter. He doesn't have to maintain the ball. He doesn't have to do a lot of things that a rookie would typically have to do. He's the sixth or seventh option on that team right now. So personally, I look for him. He's probably not a Rookie of the Year candidate because he won't have the same numbers that, you know, like Mitchell put up last season or Simmons put up last season. But I definitely think he's someone to watch out just because he has a very easy situation. I think he could grow. But we're running out of time. So you got one more question for us, Logan?
I just want to answer that quickly. No, it's fine. It's the most eye-opening rookie. It's Colin Sexton. You replaced the king in Cleveland. You replaced the Kling in Cleveland. So, you know, you are expected to fill big shoes, even though you don't have to play the same position as LeBron. You know, it's the truth. It's the proof in the pudding. The Cavaliers are going to rely heavily on Colin Sexton and K-Love and that group of players that they've got over there. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Colin Sexton performs over the test. Right now, the Cleveland is without a win as well. So, you know, it's, like I said, he's got big shoes to fill. We're talking about a team. I know LeBron's off the team, but we're still talking about a team that, you know, was just in the finals last year. So
and if I could just interject real quick, mm-hmm. I think who's going to get Rookie of the Year, though, I think it's Trae Young, just because
Trae
I
Young
think he'll have more shots put up, yeah. And he'll probably
Curry
be
Jr.
have the highest numbers out
That's
of everyone,
true.
But I don't think he necessarily has the best long-term situation compared to anyone else. He's just going to – I mean, he's in Atlanta. There's no one there, so he's going to have a little bit more time to develop. And then, of course, Doncic as well on Dallas. You know, he's just another situation with more experience. I think it'll be probably those two guys for Rookie of the Year, but I think long-term situation, Hart might be the best option there. We'll see.
I can't wait to see Michael Porter Jr. when he comes back from his back injury. Just saying. I cannot wait.
I think that was a mistake, honestly. I think he left too early. I don't agree with his, you know, career path decision-making necessarily.
Yeah, he didn't look good.
That's just me.
When he came back, he didn't look good in college.
Yeah,
I don't know. I felt like he went to a weird situation in Missouri in the first place, and then I didn't really understand why he didn't really play much, and then – then he gets the surgery and stuff like that. I don't know what the rush was necessarily. He still had a high stock value either way. He could have gone high this year if he did a little bit better. We'll see what happens with him, though.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right, Logan, thanks for calling into the podcast. Was that all your questions, bud?
Yep, that was it. Thank you.
All right, bud. Thanks for calling into the podcast. Good luck to your Steelers this Sunday as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Guys, we have run out of time here on the Right Way podcast. You know, as always, we want to thank you guys for being avid listeners, for our listeners from Norway, Ireland, and all across the United States.
We always got to shout out our Nordic countries now.
Oh,
now
you
got
you, man.
It.
You know, I want to give a special shout out to our listeners in Louisiana, who we just tapped into, and our listeners in Nevada. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for your support. It's really awesome. California, as always, Michigan, I'm not going to name them all. But thank you guys so much for your support. As always, keeping it locked here on the Right Way podcast every single Tuesday night, 9:30 p.m. Be sure to give us a follow on Instagram at the Right Way Sports Network, on Facebook at the Right Way Sports Network, on Twitter at the Right Way Net. Be sure to check out our website, therightwaynetwork.com. We always are, you know, updating the website with content, giving you a different feel, different perspectives.
I mean, there are some great articles posted right now. Shout out to Jeff. He wrote a great article this week about
awesome.
What's going on with the Lakers. We got great articles about the Giants. An excellent piece by myself and Jack Gatos talking about the legacy of Paul Allen and some of the reaction from the community. Jake Rona also wrote a great article about Carmelo's, you know, outlook for this season. So a lot on the website, a lot planned for this week as well. So definitely take a look. And sign up on our subscribe list so you can get a notification every single time a new article goes up. You can check right away.
Absolutely, absolutely, guys. Well, you know, this is all the time that we have here on the Right Way Podcast. It's funny. We actually thought this was going to be a short podcast. It turned out to be long.
I was about to say, you always say, oh, this is going to be a short one this week. This is going to be a short one this week. Never...
Well, you know, times flies when you're having fun. I'm doing my podcast with one of my best friends, and we're talking sports and we're debating, even though we don't see eye to eye when it comes to certain things. But it's always fun. Buddy, as always, great show, great podcast. See you next week. Guys, as always, the show will always go on. Good night, everybody.
You're now tuning in to the hottest sports talk podcast on the East Coast, The Right Way Network, with hosts Austin Mio and Malik Wright. Be sure to follow the team on social media at The Right Way Network on Facebook, at The Right Way Network on Instagram, and at The Right Way Net on Twitter. And remember, there's only one way to get all your sports updates, and that is The Right Way.